McLeod. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jay.
All right, Jim. So the Timberwolves are going to open their season tonight at Portland against the Trailblazers. Is Anthony Edwards going to play?
As far as I know, he is. I don't know. What did you see that I haven't seen?
Well, it sounds like there's, I've seen from multiple sources indicating that he's iffy for Wednesday, and I don't know the detail on it. I don't know if he's fighting an injury or what the situation is. I was hoping you'd know. Oh, sounds man. Like it's a back injury.
Honestly, you know, I've read a lot of preview stuff, and I've done a lot of podcasts and talked to, you know, I did a full podcast preview with John Krasinski that's up coming out this morning. And I have not heard or seen anything like that. Maybe I'm just reading the wrong places. I'm just assuming he's going to play unless I see something more definitive than that. But I will kind of check around as we're talking here.
Yeah, I'm looking according to Yahoo, according to Sports Illustrated, a few other sources that he's fighting a back injury. But yeah, I saw that somehow this morning, so I'm like, I had not heard anything prior to that. And Edwards is a guy that he typically is going to play a lot of games. It's always 70-plus games. Sometimes he plays the entire schedule. He's one of those kind of rare guys in the NBA that wants to play all the time.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, listen, this is legitimate. It's, Timberwolves PR did put it out. I must have missed it, that Edwards is questionable with back spasms. He's the only person on the injury report who is, you know, a top 9-10 player. So I guess we'll see. I spent an hour talking to Krasinski yesterday late morning about this, about the preview, and he didn't bring it up. I just kind of didn't check. So my guess is he will play. You know, back spasms, you know, problematic injury, obviously, and you have to put somebody in the injury report if there's a chance of him not playing, but I would be really surprised if he didn't play.
Jim, what do you think about this team's rotation? Mike Conley is getting older. He's still been seeing some minutes. Is he going to see less minutes this season? What do you anticipate?
I mean, he didn't play a massive number of minutes last year. The way things are working right now, I do think point guard is going to be something they probably forced to experiment with all year. Conley is their starter. He has been a little banged up in this preseason. He's older. He didn't play a ton of minutes last year. He didn't finish the year really strong last year. So, you know, expecting him to just be the full-time starter all year is unrealistic. I don't even know how many minutes he'll play early in the season. Dillingham did not have the kind of preseason you would have wanted to see from somebody who is primed to take over that position for good. I think they're going to just look for, you know, he's going to get the minutes he earns. He's going to get the situations he earns. He's not going to be handed the job. So, his playing time could go up or down at any point. And his role could change depending on how well he plays certain roles. What's the fallback if the two guys who are true point guards on this team don't play all the minutes of point guard? Well, the two obvious ones are Dante DiVincenzo. Even though they didn't really use him there in the preseason, he could be, you know, kind of your modern point guard. He's playing the point guard position, but he's not just your classic Mike Conley type distributor who runs the offense. He's there to play defense, shoot threes, get the team into its offense. And here's the other thing, and this is what Krasinski mentioned on the show that'll be out here in an hour or two. The reality is that Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And he's not a point guard, but if he has the ball in his hands and he's creating shots for himself and he's creating shots for for teammates and he's drawing double teams and kicking, I mean, that's what a point guard does. So he'll never be called the point guard, but if he's going to play with the ball in his hands a lot, do you really need a classic old-school point guard?
Portland seems like they've made a lot of changes to what they are. Sounds like Danny Avia is kind of taking on a bigger role. Is he a guy that could take another step for them?
Yeah, I mean, they're a young team. They kind of want all their players to take steps. You know, they had moments last year where they looked like they were coming on strong, but you know, they're in the West, you know, and they're in the West, and even though they have a fairly young, talented young team, you know, they're not as talented as the Spurs, the young team that we could see rise. They're not as talented as the Rockets. You know, so yeah, I mean, obviously a nice player, and he's 24 years old. And this team is not very easy to play against because they play hard and they're well coached. But But still, just they still don't factor in the West that's got all these championship contenders.
Jim, last night, Oklahoma City defeated the Rockets by just one in double overtime, featuring Kevin Durant playing for the Rockets now. Another great game, and the Thunder, they play without one of their best players in Jalen Williams. So what do you think about those two teams? Are those two of the top contenders?
Well, I mean, Oklahoma City won it all last year. They won it all going away, and they didn't graduate any seniors, you know, and they have their system that they've built up over years. They have cohesiveness. They have the great combination of being incredibly stable and cohesive and yet still being incredibly young. Last night, of course, Shea had a good game and made big, got the key free throws, but Chet Holmgren was excellent last night. You can see Chet Holmgren still getting better. He's still so young. He's had so many injuries. You can see Chet Holmgren getting better. So that team's just loaded. And, of course, they are the favorites to win it all because there's no reason not to make them the favorites. Rockets have the great young core. They trade some of their young assets for Kevin Durant. They give him a closer. Kevin Durant actually called a timeout when his team had no timeouts last night and should have been hit with a technical. For some reason, they didn't give him a technical or didn't see the timeout motion, whatever. And I don't really trust – Kevin Durant's a great player. He's, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest scorers players have ever lived. I still don't trust them to take a young team to a championship, you know? I mean, the Rockets are going to be good. They're going to be probably going to be a top four seed, but I don't really see them winning a championship.
Jim, as far as the Twins managerial search, I see that Kurt Suzuki, one of the guys that we talked about, I think it was last week, and, you know, former Twin catcher, that he's been hired to be the Mariners manager. Any thoughts on the Twins? Any new names surfacing here?
I mean, not really. Vance Wilson from the Royals, I can't remember if we talked about him or not. Third base coach is in the mix. I never thought Suzuki was a prime candidate here. And I'm not sure I would have wanted to see him hired, frankly. When he was here, I don't know. There are a lot of people who like Kurt Suzuki. I was not as impressed with him as a lot of other people. I'm not sure he would have made a great manager. And I don't think he was going to get hired, so I just don't think this is, you know, very significant in the search. I still believe that James Rowson and Vasquez are the two top candidates. I think Derek Shelton's kind of on the fringes. And Suzuki gets hired by the Angels. He was a catcher there. And interesting that Torii Hunter seems to want to manage, and he's not going to get hired by either of the two teams that would be logical to hire him, which are the Twins or the Angels.
So Hunter is not in the mix for the Twins job?
I don't believe so.
Okay. The Vikings have announced that it's going to be Carson Wentz, a quarterback. This is not a surprise. So he'll looks clearly healthy enough to go against the Chargers tomorrow. Your thoughts on that decision?
I mean, it's not a decision. McCarthy is not fully healthy, hasn't practiced. I mean, McCarthy hasn't practiced in full for, 5 weeks? I mean, there's no decision to make. And Wentz is healthy enough to play, you play Wentz. The real question is, will McCarthy be the backup or will it be Brosmer as the backup with McCarthy as the emergency? We probably won't know that until game time. I'm guessing that, I don't know. I don't know which way they'll go with that one.
So McCarthy practiced limited last week. Is the anticipation he'll be limited this week?
Well, I mean, they had one practice. They basically had walkthroughs this week. You know, they're a beat-up team. They didn't have full practice. They projected that McCarthy, if it had been full practice, would have been limited. But he didn't, he was limited last week and he did nothing this week, basically.
Jim, what do you think about the Vikings going after Herbert, the quarterback for the Chargers? He's certainly been throwing the ball a lot. They've had injuries to their offensive line. They're playing with a third-string running back. What do you think about the Viking defense going against the Charger offense?
Well, the Chargers are down to their third-string running backs. Their offensive line is beat to heck, and they have had to throw a lot because they aren't running it well. And because they're having to throw a lot, and because everybody knows they have to throw a lot, Herbert's been under incredible pressure. He got off to a great start this year. First few weeks, it looked like, oh, my God, this might be an MVP candidate this year. He might finally be the guy that everybody was kind of waiting to see. We all know what talent he has. We all know he can make every throw. And it looked like they'd put a team around him that's going to allow him to really thrive. Then, you know, they lose their top two running backs, their two power backs, offensive line, two or three key injuries, and they're just not the same offensively. They have good receiving talent. They can chuck it around, and I don't know. And the question is, can the Vikings get to them? I mean, the Vikings, I thought the Vikings' pass rush was disappointing against the Eagles, and some of their defensive schemes were disappointing. You know, in a short week, can they find a way to really hassle Herbert? That's one of the big keys to the game.
Are the Vikings vulnerable to the deep ball, or is that just a scheme against the Eagles?
I think, you know, there's so much cat and mouse going on. The Eagles had not been throwing the deep ball well. Hurts had been missing receivers open deep. The Vikings seem to be concerned about Hurts running and about containing Barkley and kind of, you know, I mean, the Vikings were responding to everything that the Eagles had put on film. They were throwing it short. They're throwing it short to the outside. They're trying to run the ball. And the Vikings defended what Eagles had been doing. And the Eagles hit them with plays that they had not hit anybody else with. So there's so much cat and mouse in this league, which is why you see upsets and such unpredictability. And the Chargers have deep threats. They have excellent receivers. They have receivers with speed. They have a dynamic tight end. But we don't have any idea what, you know, how either of these teams are going to game plan for the other.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
We will have the John Krasinski Show previewing the Timberwolves season. That'll be out here shortly. We have the Viking Update Show up. We'll also have a really cool interview. Don Mitchell's show has Mark Rivard. He has a long, interesting history. I won't try to recap it here, but basically he's gone from being like a guy who became a spokesperson for Sharpie because he'd do art on skateboards, and now he's gotten to the point where the world's best golf courses are hiring him to do paintings of their holes and hang them. It's just a really interesting dude. So check that out as well at TalkNorth.com.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jack.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at SuhanStrib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcasts at TalkNorth.com. Jim, once again today, brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. Dream Getaway 88, first code word of the day is Netflix. 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 Type that in. You can win a vacation of a lifetime. First code word of the day is Netflix. NETFLIX. Next on WJON, World and National News from ABC, followed by local news.